joining me right now is Dr. Joseph Eastman. He is worked a lot of times. He worked with NASA. He's worked with Colorado State University. He currently is retired, but he does still work with the University of Texas Austin COVID modeling team. And he has been running the numbers on Omicron, and they are not pretty. He's kind enough to join us to talk a little bit about the numbers that he has seen and what we can expect over the next few months. Doctor, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Matt.
My pleasure. First of all, let's just, you know, for everyone out there, the numbers game. If you're one of these people that can do numbers a lot, these are not easy numbers to put together. How exactly do you go about, you know, putting out a forecast like this?
Oh boy, where do I start? It's called an SIRDC model, where you break things into different compartments, and each variant has its own little piece of code that it goes through with all its parameter settings, like transmission and recovery rates and all these different things. And then I got to ingest all the numbers from the observations and run them through a preprocessor to spin it up. And then I just kind of let it do its own thing after about 45 days of spin up. Mm-hmm. And it goes out there and, you know, predicts the death rates and all these different components that go in there. I got planes traveling around and ground transportation and hospital stress and all these different things go in there to feed into the different pools of the susceptible population, the infected population, the recovered population, and of course the people that are unfortunate enough not to make it. And it updates us daily, and I typically run out about a 6-month forecast. So hopefully I can provide some guidance for our health officials going forward.
You know, there's a reason why I ask you that, because there are a lot of idiots out there that will go, And, you know, it's like, that's not counterpoint to this. This is math. This is numbers. This is, for lack of a better way of saying it, it's basic counting, just putting the parameters within a model and letting the numbers do the talking. That's not an agenda. That's just fact.
That's right. It's completely objective. There's no subjectivity in there. I let it, you know, you put the physics in there or the biophysics, whatever you want to call it, and let it do its thing. And I must admit, the last two big waves we had last January, and then this summer with the Delta coming out, I nailed both of those waves coming about 4 months in advance. In fact, one of your colleagues, Rick Smith, will attest to that.
Yeah.
He was constantly in touch with me and having me update him. And and when he first saw these numbers, he's like, "You're crazy, man. You can't be right." And then I would send them to Dr. Osterholm from the University of Minnesota and Peter Otez, and they kind of looked at him, and they, you know, kind of freaked them out at first, but, they thought they were reasonable. And this next one, we're probably looking at around 20 to 30 million people walking around infected on any given day in the next month. It's going to be that bad.
Well, first of all, one thing before we get to these numbers here, because they're obviously, this Omicron is very dangerous. Rick Smith's show, by the way, you can hear weeknights 8 to 10, and Dr. Joseph Eastman is on that, so make sure you check that out as well. Yeah. Okay. So when you talk about 4 months out, I mean, Omicron didn't work that way, because it was almost like instantaneous that it is. Okay. We got this new variant out of South Africa. It was, oh, by the way, we didn't stop any of the flights. So it's in Europe. Oh, we didn't stop any of the flights. It's in America. And it didn't give us a 4 month ramp up window, did it? Or were you actually seeing, you know, kind of variants that South African variant early on and saying, okay, this could be trouble.
I actually had about a 2-week window before people really knew about it. I was talking with a Dr. Yu in South Africa, and I'd never seen him so panicked when he saw what was the genetic makeup of this beast. And he'd never seen so many spike proteins altered like this before, you know, like 45 of them. And by the way, they're thinking it came out of mice now. People mm-hmm. don't know that either. So I only had this 2-week window. This is the first time I've had to really deal with a new variant that just pretty much, you know, slapped you right in the face and said, I'm here. And it took me a good 3 weeks to get some numbers that I really had some confidence in terms of its transmission and how it was affecting people that were vaccinated or previously infected. So this was a whole new ballgame for me. I'll admit that. By the middle of December, I think I pretty much had things nailed down with a pretty high degree of confidence.
The Omicron, as we're hearing from medical officials, it's not as, we shouldn't downplay it. But it's not as deadly as the Delta variant was, but it is wildly contagious. And as a matter of fact, we're seeing that right now in the country. It is very easy to get. What changed in Omicron that it became to a point where it's almost like it feels like there's almost an inevitability we're all going to get it at some point?
Yeah. In fact, I'll cover that a little later. A new studies that came out today. But anyways, this bugger has the ability, because of its genetic makeup, it kind of hides within the membranes instead of being out there exposed on the surface where the antibodies can say, hey, look, we got something that shouldn't be here. I'm going to get you. And this thing buries deep in your tissue, and it's hard for our body to fight it off. But it doesn't introduce all the organ failures and cause the catastrophic damage that the other ones did. Just because it's genetically engineered a little differently, it doesn't function that way. It functions more like influenza or something like that. So that's made it difficult, you know, for vaccines and our treatments once somebody's infected are not as effective either. So okay. That's kind of where we're sitting now.
Do you have is there a way for you to convey the contagious rate of Omicron comparatively to previous strains that it is just, you know, that say, you know, I'm just kind of making it up. Like if you're in a room of 10 people under Delta, yeah, you know, if no one's wearing a mask, 6 people are probably going to get it, but this is going to be 10 for 10. Is there any kind of way you can boil it down to how much more contagious Omicron is?
Yeah, there's a thing called a reproduction number, and the very first COVID that came out had a reproduction number of around 2 to 2.5. That means if, you know, somebody through normal daily contact, they're going to infect 2 to 2.5 people. When Omicron or Delta came along, that was a little bit closer to about 3.7 to 4, right in that range.
Okay.
And, of course, neither one of those, well, we didn't have the vaccine for the first one at the time, but Delta, you know, couldn't evade the vaccine either. So that was effective. This darn Omicron has at least a value, a reproduction number of 7, which it also feeds off the population that's been vaccinated or previously infected. So the susceptible population is much larger as that variant sees it. So it's starting to approach what we saw back in the late 50s and 60s with the measles vaccine that had a reproduction number of around 14 to 17, which meant we needed 90% of the population vaccinated, or we were not going to beat this bugger. So we're kind of in the same boat with the Omicron. Of course, we're not vaccinated against it, but we can prevent the severe symptoms if we can get people, you know, to vaccinate at around a 90% rate. Well, that's the only way we're going to defeat this thing. We pretty much got to accept it as an epidemic at this point. And Dr. Osterholm and two other members of the Biden transition team just came out with three articles today saying just that. Like, we need to look at this and be proactive instead of reactive like we are right now. We're not going to beat this.
Let's take a look. What is your forecast models looking like with Omicron? How many people, once again, as you kind of alluded to it, you know, millions of people, you know, tens of millions of people, if I'm not mistaken, are going to be having, you know, Omicron over the next few weeks, right?
Yeah, we're seeing, if my model is correct, we should see a little bit of dip right now, after a few more days, and then we're going to get that big surge from the holidays and everything, and this sucker is going to ramp up probably close to 25 million people by the first week of February. And of course, this is regionalized too. Mm-hmm. It's going to kind of go filter through the East Coast like it is right now, and then slowly move its way to the West. And by April, May, California is going to be hitting their peak, and then after that, things look pretty darn good towards the end of May, where this thing is finally going to die out, and we'll be through this surge. But, you know, 20 to 30 million people, well, it's not as deadly, but when you get numbers like that, it adds up to where, you know, last January we were around 3,000 deaths a day. We could be looking at least three times that per day, just by sheer numbers.
And once again, we should mention too is that it's although the vaccines, you know, Omicron seems to be able to get, you know, to infect people with vaccines, it's the unvaccinated, once again, that are much more likely to end up hospitalized on a ventilator or, God forbid, die if they do. You know that their likelihood of having much more severe cases is far greater if you're unvaccinated.
That's correct. You know, and they pretty much got us into this mess to begin with, and they're kind of keeping it going longer and longer, like it shouldn't be happening. I mean, we're one of the few countries that are so industrialized that have these kind of death rates. Nobody else is approaching us, and it's just, it's insanity that public health has become a political issue. It just shouldn't be that way. You know, it's science.
Well, and exactly, it is science there, and it, you know, it is kind of scary. I want to get touch back on something that you had said. It's sounding more and more like mice actually have been the original source of this. Is it the source of the Omicron variant or the source of COVID overall?
COVID overall. They just came out, and I got to take it with a grain of salt. The study did come out of China.
Okay.
But they really mapped out all these genetic profiles, and they're able to match what mutations went into the virus with kind of genetic markers within the mice. So they're able to kind of, you know, tease out, it's likely it came from this type of mammal, and not a bat, because bat has different genetic makeups and replacement mechanisms for the RNA. So it's kind of an interesting study. I'll take it with a grain of salt, like I say, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time rodents gave us a problem, and as humans, it wouldn't at all. All right.
Yeah, just think of it. The bubonic plague wiped out about half the world's population.
Wow. Wow. This is okay. No, once again, and one of the things, the important thing here is Omicron is far more contagious. But, you know, so even though it's not individual one to one as deadly as other variants we've had, it's going to overwhelm our healthcare systems. I mean, from what you're saying, we should expect another, you know, what, 200, 300 patients at least in hospitals, you know, ICUs full to the rim. I mean, we're already at capacity in most of our hospitals as it is.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but by the middle to end of February, we could be looking at close to, well over 50% of the hospitals going into crisis management mode, which means they're going to look at the patients coming in and say, this person is not likely to survive. We can't treat them. This person looks like they might survive, so we're going to treat them. And reaching that point and having to make that kind of decision by a person, I just can't imagine it. I can't imagine it.
So, and once again, doctor, you are one of the people that very straightforward. This is common sense. Get vaccinated, get your booster, wear a mask, social distance, correct?
That is correct. Get rid of your cloth mask, your surgical mask, get an N95 if you can find one made in America. it will definitely help things out, and it also buys us some time. If people were wearing these type of masks, even at our current masking rates, which are around, people are complying about 23 to 25% with masking right now, when we should be up, you know, close to 80% at least. But even then, it buys us about a month of time to get more people vaccinated and gives hospitals time to prepare for what's coming down the pipeline. So please get a new mask.
Well, and as you put that out there, I think one thing we have to talk about, because the availability is the question here. So if you had your choice, you know, the traditional mask that you see, like the medical mask, the simple ones, or the cloth mask, which one would you recommend until someone can get the better mask?
Yeah, definitely the surgical mask will give you about a 23% efficient filtering mechanism, whereas the cloth mask is around 8%.
All right.
So, yeah, definitely do that. Thank God I got a wife that's a nurse. So that's another thing I should tell you. I'm a cancer patient going through chemo. So if I get this darn virus, I got a 1 in 8 chance of dying because my immune system is totally compromised right now. So I even, when my kids go out, I got to have them test when they come back in the house. So, you know, it's very frightening for me personally, too. But, yeah, my wife, I can see the strain on her face from having to go to the hospital every day and face this type of stuff and not bring it home to me.
Well, it's your wife and all nurses, doctors, medical professionals, anyone working in a hospital right now, you're angels. You're absolute angels. And you're dealing with not only this, but you're dealing with some of the most insanely ignorant human beings I've ever seen on the entire planet. It is just beyond, we're doing everything we can to say, we're trying to save your lives. And they're saying, we don't want you to. And it's I can understand it. Doctor, first of all, once again, you can listen to you occasionally on Rick Smith's show. Come back, please. Are you willing to come back to the show? I hope you are.
Anytime. I always listen to you anyways, Matt. So I would love to come back, please.
All right. No problem. Dr. Joseph Eastman, kind enough to break down his latest models on the Omicron variant.